Donegal Hills of Eyes.
They do it.
The lights, man. Good to go. Okay, so welcome to the show, co-founders of VStream Group, Andrew Jenkinson and Neil O'Driscoll. Welcome to the show, guys.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Thank you.
So, Neil, we'll start with you. Tell us about the genesis of VStream Group. How did you build the company? What stages did you go through, etc.?
Well, we founded the company in 2007. It was myself and Andrew. We're childhood friends. We went to school together. Met when we were 9 years old on the steps of our school in Belvedere. And I walked out one day and found this guy standing on the steps eating what I'd never seen before was a crisp sandwich. I was from the south side. He was from the north side. So I'd never seen this. I asked him what he was doing. He explained to me this thing, the crisp sandwich. And that was really where I was first introduced to innovation. And then 2007, we got a couple of SSIAs and formed our company with two employees. And then 9 years later, we now have three companies as part of that group. And we're also launching a new platform in the States called The Cube.
That's brilliant. So it's good to see the SSIA going to use as well, not buying a car or some fancy holiday or a house in Bulgaria.
Not yet. Not yet. It's a long time coming, yeah.
So you guys love to do world's first. You've done the world's first interactive HD video website, the world's first personalized 3D fan experience, personalized 5D experience, gesture-controlled holograms, augmented reality, indoor fan experiences, transparent interactive fan experiences. So you love innovation is at the heart of the company, and you have a beautiful new product, The Cube, as well, which we'll talk about in a second. But Andrew, let's talk about the innovation part of the company, because we talk about innovation on the show as not being a linear process and something that you discover by getting your hands dirty. Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, absolutely. But one of my favorite phrases to describe an entrepreneur is somebody who jumps off a cliff and builds a plane on the way down. And in many ways, that's how we operate in the VStream Group. Innovation has always been at the core of what we do. It's our differentiator, but it's expensive. It's time consuming and it's uncertain. So it's very difficult to build a business that is founded on the unknown. But it's a really, really exciting space to be in. So what we like to do is look at new platforms, new technologies, new ways of engaging with audiences. So with our platform, The Cube, that's all about the fan experience in the stadium. We launched that at Super Bowl 50. We have a huge backing from Enterprise Ireland, and this makes it really, really easy for us to justify the amount of time, effort, and funds that go into innovation. So with the R&D grant funding that we have through Enterprise Ireland, we're able to really spend a significant amount of our time just experimenting and trying out new technologies, be it virtual reality, be it wearables, be it holograms, be it all of these different types of new platforms. And then that really allows us to become to come first to the market with these solutions. So our client list includes Formula One teams, Premiership teams, the NFL, the Super Bowl, these massive brands that are really looking for something different. So it's a difficult space to be in sometimes, but extremely rewarding when you get it right.
Yeah, because it's funny, because when you look at the advertising ecosystem at the moment and the rise of ad blocking, etc., brands and people are looking more and more for experiences, and they're investing in those experiences.
Yeah.
And it's almost like your community will then benefit. So if I'm a brand, I'll create a community around a certain theme or a certain hobby, and then give my audience that experience. And that's what you guys really excel at. Can you give us an example of that, Neil?
Sure, yeah. Well, I suppose one of the recent ones was with McLaren Formula One. SAP came to us and asked us to activate their sponsorship of McLaren. And a lot of the time within this, as you said, the brand association is very important. You can put logos into various different places, but it's not really activating and telling the story. And especially with a company like SAP, it's a complex B2B sort of a product and service. So we were asked to create an experience within the McLaren Technology Center to activate SAP's sponsorship. Now, the McLaren Technology Center is like a James Bond's villain lair. It's an amazing, most expensive privately owned building in the world. It's in Woking outside London, and it's subterranean, built on a lake, and the lake cools the building, and that's where they build all the sports cars, and they have a huge amount of innovation in there. SAP were given a space right at the heart of that, and they asked us to create an experience within that. So SAP and McLaren meet in a, basically where the products meet is in a place called Mission Control. So when the cars are racing around the world in real time, the data, 250 sensors on the car, send data back to this room, and aerodynamicists and strategists all look at that data and work out what's the best way to win that race. So we took this space and built a new version of it, a futuristic version. So we looked at it and said, what would future engineers need? So we said, let's create better visualization of the data and let's make it more intuitive. And so we created the gestural hologram. So the data is represented in a hologram and you can move that hologram around using gestures. Very, very much like a lot of what you've seen in Iron Man and films like that. So that created the core for these VIP guests. And then we went on to use it to kind of create the journey right down to using augmented reality glasses, multi-touch tables where you put an object on the table, it recognizes the object, and then you use the object to interact with the content. So it meant that we were telling the story of data for SAP from lots of different points of view, but we're using all of these different elements of McLaren, steering wheels or what it's like to be in Mission Control or what it's like to be pit side at a race, to tell that story. And out of that experience, we were able to develop a lot of products which we're now using in other experiences as well. But that is really is how experiential works.
Yeah, so and just to get it clear, so that the relationship between SAP and McLaren, it was a data one. So it was the sensors on the car, in a way, IoT, so Internet of Things. It was like sending back sensors to improve the experience in real time where they could make in real time decisions to win races essentially, and you took that and you made it into an experience. Is that experience for the data scientists to engage, or is that actually a fan experience as well?
It's a VIP fan experience.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So all of SAP's guests that are brought to the McLaren Technology Center for a tour are brought down to this space and they experience this. And in doing so, they learn more about what SAP actually does and especially what they do for McLaren. But now it's extended to all the guests that go through the McLaren Technology Center. But it is a VIP experience in this instance.
Yeah.
However, we did take that and create an online version as well. So we created a kind of a dynamic website, and that was for fans and for the wider McLaren audience.
Yeah.
And that worked really, really well. It was very sticky, so it had a lot of people went onto the site and stayed on the site for a long time. And every month, every race, they would come back and they would have more content that they could engage with. But ultimately, when you arrived at the site, it looked like Mission Control 2, that space that we created. It looked like that and you could engage with it online.
Yeah, and the beauty of what you guys have done is you don't treat each project in isolation. It's like, okay, how can I build a template or a certain kind of intellectual property out of that project that the company, the VStream Group, owns? And then how can I reuse that in lots of other places? And you often don't see that coming from agencies, creative agencies, where they treat everything like a one-off project and they don't productize the offering every time. And you guys have done that really well. Your latest product, Andrew, is the Cube. It looks fantastic. Can we talk about that and let the audience know what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, the point you just made there about the innovation, productizing and spinning out, as a traditionally services business, this is something that we were really keen on doing to ultimately, resolve in a platform that we can productize and grow. So we've done a huge amount of work in the sporting arena and in retail and entertainment, where there's high footfall and a real need to engage with fans. We've done, really nice engagement for the Aviva Stadium here. A lot of our business is international, but we've done quite interesting stuff here, and we did a big fan engagement piece for the Aviva Stadium, McLaren that Neil talked about, Mercedes Formula One team, Premiership teams, etc. And for each of those engagements, we've had to sort of specify hardware, specify an installation, literally build into the fabric of the stadium, and then create the experience. So we realized that, a significant amount of the client's budget was going on stuff, on screens, on computers, on engineers and on building, where the end result, the experience itself and the content was getting a smaller piece of the pie. So we wanted to solve that problem by building a platform. And the platform we created is called the Cube. So it's a multi-sided and multi-sized interactive platform. So it comes in a large format, which is a 2.3-meter cubed installation. It's made of out of transparent OLED screens. So it basically means you can see through these screens to inside the cube, and you can place a person, a trophy, a car, whatever you like inside this cube. The cube is interactive. It's touchscreen, it's gesture controlled, you can interact it with it through a mobile platform. And then we have person-sized pillars, which are also interactive, and then small mini cubes that go on tabletops. So the idea is that basically this platform, which we launched at Super Bowl 50 this year, which is in Levi's Stadium in San Francisco, is installed in the stadium. The stadium then has this as another asset to sell to their sponsors. The sponsors have a platform that they can create a really engaging experience on, and agencies like ourselves can create really interesting content without the necessity of creating and building new hardware and software solutions. So the Cube launched this year at Super Bowl 50, and our plan is now to install across a significant number of stadia in the US and create this network effect. So the idea is that the 49ers are playing in Levi's Stadium on a Sunday, and there's an activation for one of their sponsors on the Cube where you can interact with Pepsi, let's say. The next weekend, Taylor Swift is playing a concert. So Live Nation create an activation on the Cube where their fans can interact with her content. And as that tour travels around the US or the rest of the world, all of the cubes that are located at the stadia that she may play at or that the teams may play at are available to activate those sponsorships. So we've had great interest from a number of major sports organizations, and our kind of launch at Super Bowl 50 was a fantastic win. It got the visibility of some serious players in the tech industry, and when your technical director is shaking hands with Elon Musk at the end of Super Bowl Sunday, it's been a good day. So we're really excited about the future of the Cube and where it might bring us.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about. So we've talked about the products, talked about the company. But now your process. So how does an idea come to this mouth of the funnel, and how do you treat that? Is it based on a need of the client, or is it based on an opportunity you see in the ecosystem? How does that work, and how do you then work together to deliver that product?
Well, a lot of the time, we've grown this. We've grown everything we've done organically, so we had that initial investment. And so we take briefs and we respond to those briefs. That's how it's always worked. However, more and more the briefs we've been given are fairly open. So that's given us an opportunity to be very inventive and to basically develop whatever IP that we see or whatever concept that we see. So the Cube, for example, came from a need actually that Westfield had. And they said, look, we need something at the centre of where they used to have the fountain or the clock tower in the centre of the shopping centre. We need something there, but that is futuristic, that allows people to kind of come together, interact, links our offline online worlds together, can be seen from every single point of view, including a mezzanine. And they said, what could you do? And actually we developed that concept, the Cube, from that, and that's where that first idea came from. A lot of the time we'll be given a brief and we'll be aware of what technology we have or what technology is out there, what technology we might be able to bring together. And it often starts with me in a notebook and a bunch of coloured biros kind of coming up with a load of sketches. And I'll bring that to Andrew and I'll say, so let's make this. And that's very, just coloured biros and not practical whatsoever. And then Andrew will look at it and go, right, well, how would we do that?
get out.
Yeah, so I'll tell him why it's a great idea, and then he has to actually actually make it work. So I'm able to dream up things, and then he actually makes them happen, and that's normally the way it works. That's
but luckily, we have a team of people more skilled than either of us now that do the doing and the making and the creating of things. So
obviously that's very it's not just us. It's very important. We understand also the skill sets that our team have and the things that they're thinking and they're working on as well. So we're kind of whenever I think about a concept, I'm thinking about everything that we're all talking about at the same time. So all those ideas are floating around the ecosystem, and kind of we'll get a brief and I'll try and bring it all together into a response, and then Andrew will try and make that happen and bring the team together to execute.
So you guys are really working on the business, and the team is working in the business essentially to deliver.
We still have one foot in and one foot on, if you know what I mean. But more and more as the years have gone on, we focus more and more on the business, and we have a larger team that works in the business.
So one last thing is culture. What kind of culture do you foster for innovation? Because it seems like even the way you guys are talking, it's very inclusive. You know, it's not just you two guys in an ivory tower going, let's build this, you know, blueprint, the next crisp sandwich. You're actually including the team. How do you foster that innovative culture?
Yeah, well, it's the type of team that we have, and the type of talent that you know an organization like the VStream Group needs to attract. You have to have a culture that is synonymous with innovation, facilitates making mistakes, facilitates all sorts of crazy ideas, crazy working hours, travel to different places to look at different things, and really, you know, giving people the belief that even though it's never been done before, doesn't mean it can't be done. And we actually, you know, the philosophy internally is there's no such thing as it can't be done. There's always a way. So we try to really give people the framework in which to give their capabilities the best opportunity to succeed. Our software developers are scientists. They're not traditional software developers. They're soldering irons and screwdrivers and all sorts of things sitting around the place where people are literally breaking apart hardware components, gluing them to other hardware components to figure out how that might work. And sometimes we have very standard briefs for really cool clients, but they just want something that we have done before. And in that case, it's very important for us to give a little bit of time for people to just play, to just experiment, to just go and have a go at some new technology. And a lot of the time, that's where the innovation culture comes from, it's not all timesheets for people to be, working on billable hours. There's a very clear mandate for people to bring new ideas in, to educate and cross-pollinate the creative team on what's technically possible. The creative team talking to the technical guys about, we have this idea and it's never been done before. How might it get done? And then, you know, to be able to, you know, have the real honor from myself and Neil's perspective to bring this, you know, this ideation internationally and launch it on some of the largest sporting stages or brand stages in the world, and all of it from an innovation point of view and from a productivity point of view happens domestically. It's all Irish exports. We have an office in New York, and we have an office in London, but the vast majority of everything that we do happens in our headquarters in just off Leeson Street, and that's a great source of pride as well, that this type of innovation is happening on our in our home turf, and and reaching out to crowds in the US and globally.
Neil O'Driscoll, Andrew Jenkinson, co-founders of VStream Group, thank you very much.
Thank you.